We're in our relationship series, and as we walk through these weeks from Mother's Day to Father's Day, we're looking at relationships from a 30,000-foot view, in the sense that the things we talk about are truths that apply across the board in our relationships. They may be applied a little bit differently, but these truths that we're looking at can apply in our relationship with God, that upward relationship. They can apply in our relationship horizontally, husband, wife, children, parents, employer, employee, friendships, all of our relationships. These truths can apply in those, all of those ways as well. And so we look to the Word of God again today. Invite you to turn with me to 1 Samuel. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one there in the rack, or you may be using your phone, or you can look on the screen. But 1 Samuel, and we're going to just hit this hard with a story that seems a bit extreme, but it speaks to the truth that we will touch on today and talk about for these next few moments. And it's this: giving honor. Giving honor. In our relationships, if we are going to grow in our relationships, there is a truth and a goal that we can set, that we would say, I'll be one that gives honor. And some may say, well, I've already got that one. Chip, we don't need to talk about that. Let's move on to the next. Well, let's let the Word of God speak to us today and just open our hearts to application, maybe a little bit broader or deeper than we sometimes stop and think about as we approach this subject of honor. So here's the context in 1 Samuel chapter 26. David, as has been happening throughout much of this book, is running from Saul the king. David literally was running for his life. In fact, this may be where we got that phrase, running for my life. But he was running for his life literally. He was having to run one way and then another way and hide in this place. And when Saul came that way, he'd run another way. This is where we find David. And it's after David had already been anointed as king as a young man in his father's house when Samuel came to look for the next king. But Saul was still on the throne. David has not yet been moved to that position. And in the meantime, he's running for his life. And yet we learn about honor from David's life. And I believe there are some truths that can speak to each of us today along this line. And so David is running for his life. And we pick up in 1 Samuel 26:5. Then David set out and went to the place where Saul had camped. He saw where Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander of the army, had lain down. So Saul was running after David. David was hiding. He noticed where Saul was. He was that close. The men camp out. Verse 6, David then asked Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, who will go down into the camp with me to Saul? I'll go with you, said Abishai. So David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there was Saul, lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Abishai said to David, today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't strike him twice. I told you this was an extreme story. But David said to Abishai, don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? as surely as the Lord lives. He said, the Lord himself will strike him, or his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and water jug that are near his head and let's go. So David took the spear and water jug near Saul's head and they left. No one saw or knew about it, nor did anyone wake up. They were all sleeping because the Lord had put into them a deep sleep. We'll stop there and ponder this story. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us to see truth and application for our own lives in these moments. Holy Spirit, teach us about honor today. Renew truth in our hearts concerning honor today. And may we leave here with a sense of your truth pervading our relationships as we honor one another, as we honor you. In your name, amen. Amen. It's quite a story. It's one that could be made for a movie as we think about life and death and the struggle of survival and David running for his life. And yet in the midst of this, when a moment comes, and it's not the first, we're going to refer to an earlier time where different circumstance, different location, but much the same opportunity for David to take the situation into his hands and once and for all say, you know what, I'm done running. I'm finished with putting up with your shenanigans as king and coming after me and then backing off and putting me in a hard place. He could have done that earlier. And then here, it's one of these defining moments for David. And yet, as he steps into the moment, he chooses honor. He steps into the moment, and more than just the words off of his lips, but his heart understood that I will not touch God's anointed. This idea that David had, this understanding of honor, how does honor work? How did David apply this in this story and throughout his life as a man that ultimately is described as a man after God's own heart? How did David live that out? And how can we apply that? How does honor work? Let's talk about that. As we set this goal of giving honor, not just where we think, oh yes, I have to do this because this person is over me, but giving honor in our lives, living and maintaining and desiring to be part of a culture of honor that is a guiding factor in our life and in our relationships. This word honor can be defined as a valuing. It speaks of value, something being valuable to us, precious, even weighty. That idea of honor ties in with that idea, the thought of something being so valuable that it's weighty, it's precious to us. It speaks of appreciation, esteem. Looking or treating someone favorably, giving regard or respect to revere is to honor. The antonym can be dishonor. The opposite of honor is dishonor. We can dishonor people. We can disrespect others. And how that can affect and be applied in our lives. So as we talk about this for these moments, and we ask this question, how does honor work? How did it work for David in this story? As he, in a moment when he could have taken the situation into his hands, he applied honor. He gave honor to King Saul. How do you show honor? How do we do that in our day and age? Honor can be displayed in action. We can stand when our national anthem is sung. We can salute an officer or someone in military hierarchy, and we give honor to somebody by a salute. So we can give action of honor. We can speak words of honor. We can speak in an honoring way about someone or to somebody. And that is a display of honor. I loved in our time in missions work in East Africa, and specifically in the country of Tanzania, where it was kind of the high Swahili, the language that was spoken in much of East Africa. But the greeting was one of honor to an elderly person. And as you came into their presence, if you were younger or in a lesser place of authority, you would extend your right hand and say shikamo. And as you say shikamo, depending how this relationship is or how much honor you're giving, there could be a bowing or even a kneeling and a putting of your arm, even here, like saying, I'm giving you respect. Even in my greeting, I'm saying shikamo, I honor you. And then as you do that, there would be like a thank you or a blessing from that person you're honoring, saying marahaba. And we would see that especially in our time of language study in Tanzania, but I've never forgotten that. That's a way we display honor. We can honor someone in our thoughts. Just by the way we think about somebody. If that's the only place we leave it, then that's not enough. But we can also dishonor somebody in our thoughts, and it can set us on a wrong course. And as we think about honor today, I want to say this: giving honor reveals your heart. How does honor work? First, let's just kind of set the foundation. Giving honor reveals our heart. There's something that happens with honor that when we have stuff going on inside, our heart is revealed through that by the giving of honor. If you back up to a similar story, I mentioned this a moment ago, but in 1 Samuel chapter 24, David had a very similar situation where he could extend his own hand and kill Saul. He had this opportunity in chapter 24 as well. And this time, David had just snuck up on Saul as he was in a cave, and he just took a piece of his robe and kind of snuck off again. And then as Saul had gone a little bit away, he called his attention to it. But here's what happens for David, even in this story, in 1 Samuel 24, 5. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. You see, something was in David's heart. His mind was pricked. His heart was convicted, even for just crawling up there and taking a piece of the robe. He was conscience stricken. Because I believe David had honor at his core, in his heart. David understood this truth. Giving honor reveals our heart. It's where honor flows from. And when our heart is honoring, it will be displayed in many different ways, or we will be convicted by our lack of showing honor because of that work of God in our heart. So sometimes when we talk about honor, we think of it superficially, the salute, the standing, the greeting, whatever it may be. Those are surface expressions of honor. But if there is not honor in our heart, then we're missing the whole point. Look with me at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here, to the religious leaders. And really what he's addressing in modern day terms, he's addressing fake honor. He's addressing fake honor. Verse 4, just to set the context, Matthew 15:4, for God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father and mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are merely human rules. Jesus is talking to religious people here. And they're trying to put on this air that they are so religious because what they should be doing to honor their father and mother, the fifth commandment of the ten, and the one commandment with promise, honor your father and mother. They saying, well, we don't really need to do that if what we should have given them, we just give to God. And by God himself, Jesus himself says, if you're going to take that and misuse or misinterpret that, you're just honoring with your lips, but your heart is not in it. Because honor, true honor, reveals our heart, and Jesus just doesn't want lip service. He wants our heart. He wants us to truly honor him. And in David's story, when push came to shove, in this defining moment when he could have taken stuff into his own hands, not just once, but now a second time, and Saul and his men are in a deep sleep, he tells his right-hand man, one of his warriors that is there with him, he says, you don't even have to do it, David, I'll do it. And David, I don't know if there was some hesitation, we just see the story flow from one verse to another, but in that moment, whether there was hesitation or thought, whatever was happening for David, there was a moment where his heart was revealed, and he said, no, I won't touch God's anointed. And I think, this is reading between the lines, but I would even say, maybe God put Saul and his men into a deep sleep. His warrior was thinking, he did this for us so we could come and take care of him quickly. But David, maybe it was just God testing David, allowing David to have a moment of decision when it could have been easy for him to take it into his own hands. And in that moment, his heart was revealed, and he said, no, I won't do that. Honor reveals our heart, and honor was revealed in David's heart as he was there that day with Saul. I remember, shared this before in different ways, but I remember growing up, there was a short season in my life, in my teenage years, and if it's going to strike, this is probably when it strikes, because when we're teenagers, we think we know how to run the world. And our parents just don't have a clue. And I went through a season like that. I was in church. I was giving lip service to honoring my parents and all those things. But just in a very subtle way, for a season of time, I just had a hard time with my father. I would describe it, I maybe was a little embarrassed for just stupid reasons. Or I thought that I needed to show that I can do stuff without my dad's presence, so whenever my dad's around, I don't like how I feel, so I'd rather show up somewhere where I can just not have my dad around. And it kind of came to a head for me when one day I was going to receive an award on the golf team in high school, and my dad was all ready to go, and I said, oh, Dad, you don't need to come. It's just kind of for us, and it's just going to be the athletes, and who knows if I'm going to get anything anyway, and so you don't need to come. And my dad was, like I've been, and Cindy and I have been with Cassie, if there's a game, we want to be there. And my dad was that way, to support in any way. He wanted to be there if awards were being handed out. I was honoring my dad with my lips, but my heart wasn't right. And I just used the line, Dad, oh, you just don't need to come. And the Lord began to speak to me about that. What's in your heart? Why did you say that? What are you feeling? And then I got to the event, and all the kids had their parents there. And I received an award, and I didn't have anybody to celebrate with me. And I'm the one that had egg on my face. And God began to show me, there might be something in your heart that I want to reveal. And just fast forward a few years later, my dad's retiring from his workplace, and they're honoring him. And I love this because I'll never forget how I felt that day as we're in the lunchroom of this place, and my dad had been the president of the company. It was a family company, and there was a room full of employees, and he was going to retire, and they invited me. They didn't invite any of my siblings. They just invited me as the oldest son, and I felt honored. And I showed up at that, and the thing I felt as they talked about my father, my heart was totally different. Whereas a few years earlier, feeling what I felt, and now there was something in me, I just wanted to jump up and say, that's my dad, that's my dad. Because there was honor in my heart. And may God help us. Honor reveals our heart. When we are in a place to show honor, how we respond in that moment with honor or dishonor reveals our heart. And God wants to reveal that. And David's heart was revealed as he had an opportunity to take Saul's own sword and take care of him because of all he had put David through. And yet David understood a law of honor that kept him because his heart was right. Honor reveals our heart. Secondly, giving honor aligns our life. I want you to think about this. This is huge in relationships. When we give honor, not fake honor, but true honor, from the heart honor, when we give honor, it aligns our lives. God uses that like the shores on a river, the banks of the river. When the river is flowing, this truth of honor, if it's a culture that we are committed to, that is in us because of the love of God in us, if that is in us, then it guides, it aligns our life. It keeps the flow of life in proper order. Giving honor aligns your life. For David, his words of response, the banks of the river, the alignment of his heart and attitude were this: I will not touch God's anointed. I want you to hear this today. Giving honor is not based on whether we think the person is worthy of honor or not, but it's based on God's truth. When we understand honor in that way, so often we think honor is, well, if they deserve it, I'll give it to them, but if they don't earn it, then forget that. But the truth is, that giving honor is our first step. It's our first response. When we understand the power of giving honor as God declares it to be, that giving of honor can set things in motion. It can turn things. And even if the outward circumstances don't turn, there's something God is working in our lives to align us, to bring us to the place He wants us to be. We can see the power, the supernatural work of God honoring honor, God-given honor, how that works. Really, when we talk about honor, we can't go long without talking about submission. Submission is coming under another mission. Submission, coming under, just like honor is coming beneath someone else that you're giving that honor to. You're valuing them. Submission is a part of that. And David, in this moment, submitted to the fact that Saul was still king. And God had anointed him as king. And as crazy as some of his actions were, especially towards David, he said, Saul is still king, and I'm going to submit to God and his timing and his way. I'm going to honor Saul, even in this moment. There's a story, and I'll just reference it and read a couple verses from it. But I want you to see this lesson in another context. In Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The word honor isn't listed here. But honor was understood. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 10. And it's not Matthew 7. Let me just tell you the story. Yeah, here it is, Matthew 8, verses 7. Thank you for help there, Roy. Jesus had entered Capernaum. A centurion, a soldier, a man that understood rank and understood honor, a Gentile, not a Jew. Here in this situation, he has a servant at his home that is suffering terribly. So this man of great power has a servant under him that he cares about greatly, and he hears about Jesus, and he comes to Jesus and says, Lord, could you heal my servant? And Jesus just says, hey, do you want me to come with you to heal him? Verse 8 says, the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am myself a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell the one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. What does that have to do with honor? Here's a man that understood rank. He understood honor. He understood authority. He understood submission. And because he had an understanding of that, in a Roman soldier's mentality, he took what he understood and applied it to faith. And he said, if this is what happens in the Roman army, then here is Jesus, a man of authority that I truly honor. He can just speak it and it can be done. And he took the concept of honor and applied that in the spirit and believed that Jesus, you don't even have to come, just speak the word. He understood authority. He understood coming under. He understood submission, and a powerful result took place. Healing took place. Faith was elevated as God worked in that situation. Giving honor aligns our life. It gives us understanding of how we are to function, not based on what anybody around us is doing, but on what is happening in us. And just saying, this is how I will function with honor. We've already referred to Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. That truth, if I truly believe that and practice that, it's not whether I have money or don't have money or how much I have when I get enough that I can give a little bit. That's the word of God, and it says honor him with your first fruits. And when you do that, it aligns your life. And there are many in this room, like some moments ago, that could raise their hand and say, I've seen God come through. I could do the same thing right now. How many of you that have practiced the truth of giving to God from a cheerful heart, tithing, giving first fruits, have seen God work in your life? Look at that. Because that's an act of honor. Those are the banks of the river. This is how I'm going to live no matter what. A tithe of a dollar is 10 cents. A tithe of a million is a little bit more. But I'm going to do the same no matter what. I'm going to give to God and give beyond that out of a cheerful heart, honoring, parental honoring. Ephesians 6, 2 says, children, honor your parents. It's the first commandment with promise. That means when we honor our parents, God does something. And one of the things I love about these truths that we're talking about for each of these weeks, I do believe there's a supernatural element to each one. I believe that. When we don't just say, okay, I understand honor. I got to salute certain people. I have to stand. No, it's when we get the heart part of it, when we get the God connect to this, supernaturally God does stuff. And so this is one of the true expressions of that. Children, honor your parents. So it'll go well with you. So you'll have a long life. It's the first commandment with promise. There's the fruit, and that's the third point we're coming to in just a moment. But there's the truth of it, and that should align our lives. Cindy and I, for many years, worked with young people, young adults, college age, career age, U.S., in Kenya for our first assignment when we were there as missionaries. And still to this day, I practice this. There are times young people come to me for counseling, and especially if their parents are non-believers and they're a new believer. And they come to me and say, my parents don't even want me to come to church here. Or they don't want me to do this. Or they don't want me to do that. You know what? They think that because it's a spiritual thing, I'm going to just say, oh, you just come here. We need you here at church. You be here. I can tell you more than once in my life, I said, you listen to your parents. You find a way to feed your spirit. Some of them, as they've talked to me, one especially, I'll never forget, from a Catholic background, and they said, no, you're going to church with us, and we're going to go as a family. But as that act was respected, and I want you to hear me, there are things we can do. That's why even in 1 Peter 3, wives with unsaved husbands, this truth can be children with unsaved parents. It can be a wife with an unsaved husband. It can be you as an employee with an employer that is unsaved. And we want to look for an out as believers sometimes to think, well, here's where I don't have to honor. I'm just telling you, these honor truths are so deep that even for David, when Saul was his enemy, by every stretch of the word, Saul was trying to kill him, and David still didn't take it into his own hands. These truths can align our lives. And when we honor parents, when we honor a spouse that is unsaved, and we love on them, and it says for the wife, and I don't think this is to put wife down or into submission in a wrong kind of way. It's just speaking to wives that have unsaved husbands in 1 Timothy 3. But when you practice honor, and you can do it even without a word, and you live your testimony, you earn the right to speak. You earn the right to see what God will do to resolve that. That honor is a truth that can be applied in so many areas. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 say, honor one another. We can mutually honor each other. We can value. It says, honor one another as more important or more valuable than yourself. Or before yourself. That's what Romans says. As I honor someone, as I value them, I'm going to live differently and respond differently than if I dishonor or disregard or discredit because I can make reasons why I shouldn't. God deals with our hearts. John Bevere, in one of his writings on this subject of honor, says this: to say we honor authority, yet refrain from submission and obedience to it, is to deceive ourselves. To say we honor authority, but then we don't submit. In understanding God's flow of honor and authority, if we're deceiving ourselves. And so in all of our relationships, those above us, mutual, even those that would be under us, how do we respond and let this truth of honor align our lives at key moments, in key relationships, in decisions we have to make? How does honor impact that? Honor, when we do it right, as David did it, it aligned his life. He knew what to decide in that moment. He knew he would not take matters into his own hands. He knew as he honored God and honored Saul as king, God would work it all out. It's quiet in here today. I'm about to finish, but I'm preaching truth. Number three, how does honor work? Giving honor produces a supernatural return. I want you to see this in the text. And just one other application, and we're going to pray. But in 1 Samuel 26, towards the end of this story, because once David lets Saul live and then they wake up, Saul and his men wake up, David's a little far off again, and he begins a conversation with Saul. They start talking to each other. And I want you to just see the end of it. You can read the in-between verses. But here's Saul's response to David in verse 21 of 1 Samuel 26. Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Come back, David, my son." In fact, in the earlier story of this, two chapters earlier, it says Saul wept. Now, we know these were short-lived. Saul comes across like a madman. But even in this short-lived time, there's an expression that comes, and yet a word that speaks beyond this. He says, "Because you consider my life precious today, I will not try to harm you again. Surely I have acted like a fool and have been terribly wrong." "Here is the king's spear," David answered. "Let one of your young men come over and get it." David gave back the spear to Saul that Saul wanted to use to kill David. That only can happen with God. The Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness. The Lord delivered you into my hands today, but I would not lay a hand on my Lord's anointed. He aligned his life with spiritual truth of honor. "As surely as I have valued your life today, so may the Lord value my life and deliver me from all trouble." Then Saul said to David, here's Saul. This just doesn't seem to fit, but this is what Saul said. "May you be blessed, David, my son. You will do great things and surely triumph." If you go a few chapters earlier, his response after that incident, he says, "You will one day be king." Saul told that to David. He said, "You will one day be king, and when you are, remember my family." And David was true to his word. He honored that word. You can read that in chapters that follow. What am I saying? There is a supernatural return. There is a reward that honor produces. And only in time can we see it. And sometimes when we're right in the middle of it, we have a hard time making the choice to choose honor. But if we will, like David, what would have happened if David would have taken it into his own hands? The rest of the story may have gone much different. But because he honored, God honored him and ultimately made him king. I end with this story, and I have 10 years now to reflect back. But when we left Kenya as missionaries, not 10 years yet, but we're coming up on that, 9.5 years since we've been here at Oakbrook. And something that I had prayed while I was pastor in Kenya was that ICC could be pastored by a Kenyan leader that rightfully deserved to take that church to the next level. And I prayed that, we prayed that. I knew, though, that I couldn't make it happen. But while I was still the senior pastor, little things began to happen. Like in our sectional meetings amongst pastors, instead of me naturally being voted on to be the treasurer because we had a church that seemed to have a lot of money and we needed to make sure somebody could oversee the money, instead of the missionary being the treasurer, I watched as Philip Kitoto, just by his honor to our general superintendent, who was our sectional leader in that group, just by his honor and his attitude, even not by words he said, just the way he portrayed himself, he was voted in. So I'm there as the senior pastor, but now we have a secretary treasurer that's working directly with the leader. And that began an earning of trust that has been a joy to my heart to watch. When I took over ICC, we were distrusted by even many of the other Assemblies of God churches. Well, that's a missionary church, and they're just going to want to take it out of the Assemblies of God, or they're going to do their own thing, or if we let the wrong people in power there, what could happen? And these kinds of things that can sometimes be there. But I watched as we stepped in and cultivated a culture of honor, and Philip portrayed that from a low position, from a position of submission. And now, since I've been gone, watching that tenuous situation as he became the senior pastor, and he and his wife living out this culture of honor, and seeing what it did to speak not just to the leader above him or the leaders above him, but across really much of the denomination in Kenya. And I've watched from a distance and heard the stories and followed up as I have opportunity to talk to people. I've seen it when I've been back there, but I've watched Philip earn that trust and the honor that is now there and the open door that took literally many years to win. I've seen the supernatural reward of honor. And our general superintendent in Kenya today, I would say his right-hand man, his chief confidant, is one that he didn't even know he could trust 10 or 15 years ago. But he's brought him close because of honor. And now he says, we want more ICCs all around this country, in our major cities. We want to see this multiply. And he's given Philip positions of honor and leadership in the Bible school and multiplying churches. I'm telling you, it's not just pastors and leaders. It's not just with kids with their parents. It's not just with us with one another. It's even in our walk with God. When we truly honor God and we come under and we value him and we trust his leadership even in dark moments, when we truly honor, this truth can do things that only God can do. He'll reveal it. But giving honor produces supernatural rewards. So here's my question. How does honor work? We've just talked about that. It's a heart thing. And then we make decisions. We align with that truth, even in the hardest moment. And then we see the fruit of it. So here's my question as we finish. Who are you honoring? How are you honoring? And what is God saying to you about this? It could be with your employer. And you just have fits every Monday morning when you go into work. I got to put up with this for another 5 days. It might be with parents. Cassidy could be saying that right now. I got to spend another month at home. And then I'm on my own. It can apply with people right here in this room where we can smile at each other and shake hands on Sunday, but during the week we're thinking things or feeling things and we struggle and we all have to deal with stuff. But when there is a culture of honor, we will deal differently. And I'm going to value you whether I agree with your opinion or not. I'm going to value you because you're a child of God and we're going to relate differently. I'm going to give you honor. And when we do that in a culture that God helps create, there will be supernatural rewards. So God calls us across the board. And most of all today, I would just say, how are we doing in our honor this way? It's not just our wallet and how we're giving, but that's one expression. But how are we doing in honoring the one that truly deserves all honor? And he said, you honor me, and I'll honor you. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. That's a truth of his word that David understood and lived that out later in the book. So God, I ask you in this moment to just help us. Help us with this goal, to not avoid it, to not skirt around it, and just kind of think, oh, I've got that one. But Lord, for each of us, just being honest with you, with ourselves. May we truly be people because of your love that has been poured out in our hearts. How can we do anything different than what you do? You love so much, you gave your life for us. May we honor you, and may we honor those you've created. And may we do that in a way that models this truth that you ordained. Lord, I ask that you would encourage us today, that you would convict us today. But most of all, that you would change us. Help us to honor. As we do that, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we've seen and we will see in greater measure supernatural reward. We thank you, Lord. In your name. Amen. Let's stand together.